Pickaxe.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
I really like the idea that you just said there, Tom.
Did you just forget my name?
I tried to.
Do we all know each other's names, to be clear? Welcome to Pitch Please. My name's Alex, and I'm joined by developer Chris.
Hello.
From Foggy Box.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Yeah, beans that up.
No, you've done a great job. You were bang on for me there. Anyway, look, we're also joined by developer James.
Hello.
From Catastrophic Overload. We're joined by Thomas, the ideas engine.
Hi.
Oh, no.
I'm just trying to time it right. I'm sorry.
And we're also joined.
Hi.
Amazing. That's Rithian.
That's me.
Rithian's back.
Yeah.
Back at it again.
Some guy. That's when you know they're like scraping the bottom barrel for content when they invite me back on, honestly.
Guests.
Oh, geez.
I mean, we've had Matthew Castle on God knows how many times now. How's it going?
Good, yeah. When you invited me on, I was panicking for like 2 days. I was like, I have no idea. I have no idea what to say. I was like, Dune game, Dune. But then, like, yeah.
Just looking
but
around
eventually,
your
eventually,
things
I thought
that
you've
seen recently. Well, no, yeah. you've pitched a game before.
I have, yeah.
And it was great.
Last game, and this is where we put in like a link in the description to like previous Rithian episode. It was Sean Connery's Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Sorcerer's Apprentice, the VR
yeah,
game,
which I thought was sounded pretty cool.
I think that was our only like a VR. Well, the initial pitch was a VR game, right?
I thought you were going to say yeah. original idea then.
and this time you've arrived with an even better idea, right?
Well, I hope so.
Is that right?
I thought it sounded like a cool idea.
Okay.
So first off the bat, how many of you guys have played Final Fantasy 12?
12, no.
Which one's that?
12 is the Ivalice one, Vaughn, Balthier, Bosh, Ash, Fran, the bunny girl with the butt.
Now you know.
Is that an online one? Or is that
No, it's not the online one, but it like has more... It doesn't have a combat system as in you go into a different screen. You just run around and fight.
Oh, right, okay.
The point of that is because the way you fight in that game is a system called Gambit, which sets, basically you tell your party members what to do, such as like party member below 50% HP equals cast cure.
Right,
or like
okay.
Enemy spotted, attack, you know, with sword, flyer, cast blizzard, that type of thing. Right.
Okay.
So I wanted something like that because I had the idea of a Metroidvania, Mega Man, platformer, castle thing imaging, like I played Metroid Dread recently, so it was Metroid kind of thing, where you are this robot or android or something, and you start with like a blank memory with just like the basic code of like explore and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And as you
grow, like
in all Metroidvanias, as you kill more things, you get stuff and weapons and the like, and then you kill your first boss and you get like a packet of code that now allows you to code something in. So for example, like when I see yellow door shoot in like missile, which can then open the yellow door. And later on, you get to the place where like, oh, I defeated this monster boss. Now I have like hover mode. So then like hover at like a hole or lava or whatever. So you eventually unlock more things that you program yourself as a robot to unlock ways to bypass the problem. Now, it could be very simple. That's just flavor for the Metroidvania. But
right,
I was
okay.
thinking like you literally get some sort of if-then type of system, like the Gambits from Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah.
So literally like you walk up to door and like if spot yellow missile, then shoot 3 missiles. Or if flyer attack, equip X and shoot. So that eventually... A lot of the base gameplay of the Metroidvania, just running around, is like automated. So in the beginning you go through a zone and it's like difficult, you have to manually do everything, and then later on you pass through on the way back and you've got all these like codes set up in your brain, in your robot brain, where all of that is done for you automatically. So you just run and then you just see your character do all these things because you've programmed it ahead of time, so you can like give yourself better efficiency for doing things. And then gradually, okay, as you go on, the whole gimmick of this is code, this is your brain, you can work with that in regards of like having enemies be able to corrupt you. You can swap out individual pieces of code in your brain to do different things. You can do like hard mode, like you unequip the ability to save to free up more spots.
Well, so okay, kind of things. Before we get too deep into it.
Yeah, I can keep going, but yeah, let's go.
With the initial idea of that kind of like the Metroidvania style game, yeah, where you are essentially like creating or like applying if statements to your, yes, character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have two questions. One is, is the player physically typing out code?
No. Okay, you right. set up code. It's like, I mean, I guess you could in theory, but like that would mean that people will have to learn how to code. Yeah. In Final Fantasy XII, it's like literally a list of like drop-down menus. Yeah. So like if C, and then you have a list of like yellow door, red door, blue door, like flyer enemy, ground enemy, underground, and then equals shoot this, use this ability or whatever.
And my second question was, at the start, you set this thing up. Are you then watching the character do it? Or do you have any control, like, manually over the character?
You have base control, just from the beginning. Because I think, okay, like, the idea is that in the beginning... Jump. Yeah, well, you can still... Yeah, you have the basic how to play a Metroidvania controlled from the very beginning. I think, like, maybe your brain starts with a base level of, like, movement and combat program, and then each step you get is, like, you know, find a floppy disk or whatever, and you, like, upgrade yourself to learn more advanced things, including more automation and more efficiency. Like, maybe later on you find, like, a program that, okay, I can automatically shoot flyers, and then later on you find a more efficient code which shoots it with less ammo or faster or whatever.
This... I don't know why, but the idea of like a turret defense game comes to mind, where you are like a moving platform for different turrets. So you're almost like the code that you're setting into your brain is like, okay, automatically fire at this type of enemy when you see it. And there's like a certain portion of your brain that you can devote to that. And as you're running around, you're almost like equipping and unequipping these different turrets, and the more you can...
Yeah, no, I can imagine, like, okay, I'm going into the lava zone, right? I'm not going to need to worry about flyers here, because they're all, like, lava pieces,
exactly,
or whatever. So we can unequip this part of the code, which freezes up to blah, 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 blah. Have you guys played Transistor, the Supergiant game?
Yeah, that
has a thing as well, where you have, like, limited amount of RAM, and you equip different parts of it, and you combo it, and so on. Maybe... You could go that far, but if not, just the idea of like you have X amount of space for what kind of automation and efficiency and abilities you want to use, and you swap them in and out.
Yeah. I like the idea of treating these microchips and all these statements and bits of code as a resource in a way, where maybe you have a load of different commands for if this, then shoot, if this, then open, whatever. But maybe you only have one thing that says red crystal or whatever, or red object. So you put that in, if red, then shoot, but then you come to a red door and you're like, oh shit, I need to swap things around. I think Near Automata
is also an inspiration. That has the whole thing where you are an android and you have abilities to like unequip things and so on. I remember seeing a clip of someone like unequipping their life, and then they just die. Game over.
Every single element of your character you can equip and unequip. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Hideo Kojima, that, doesn't it? I really like the idea that you just said there, Top, because it's like...
Did you just forget my... Okay.
A little bit, yeah.
I tried to.
It's been 2 years. Do we all know each other's names?
Jumper. Just to be clear.
The guy in the old jumper. Go ahead. No, anyway. It's Tom. the idea that you only have a certain amount of if statements, for example, or putting a resource on that makes you have to think creatively. So if we imagine that our brain is sort of this node-based system for creating code, that you might be like, okay, if red door... fire missile, but I only have one if, so I actually also need it to do this. So I also need to do a double jump to avoid this lava pit. So then you'd be like, every time you see a red door, you end up doing a double jump. So you've got to almost be on your toes and remember what if statements you set to not kill yourself accidentally.
Yeah.
So the, you might the limitations. End up with a really like taped together sort of brain of like, I do these all these really crazy actions each time I see a red door, but it's the only way that I can optimize in order to get through this dungeon or this.
Maybe you can build like chain stuff, which so like if see a red door, shoot missile. If shoot missile, crouch. If crouch, roll into
exactly.
bomb. And you have a chain thing. That might get too complicated, but early on that might be cool.
I like the idea of the boss battles, kind of like the Mega Man style boss battles. You go into this room, maybe you don't have necessarily direct control of your character where you can move around and jump and stuff, but it is just a event where you just watch your code play out. And the first boss, he has one move, he dashes across the bottom of the room. And you just say, right, when I see his eyes flash red, then jump. And you just see him just jump, shoot, jump, shoot, jump, shoot. And you fight the boss. And then towards the end, it's this mega chain of all these different events that are going on. And maybe if there's like conflicting code or something, your robot just shuts down. And it's like, well, shit, I've just
dead. I have this idea of like you start with something simple as that. Or most likely, you go into the boss room, have no idea what's going to happen. You go out and you see, oh, this guy is a dasher and a freezer. That means, and then you die, respawn, and you set up your code, like, this time I'm going to go in and I'm going to have it. And then you've got like, aha, the jump for the dash and the shield for the freeze or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tom.
There you go. I just said I like it.
Oh, okay, cool. I was just going to say, do you see this playing out as in you just replay levels each time or boss encounters to try and get the right combination? Or could we do something like a bit like a bullet time kind of thing where you kind of go into a mode where time slows down, you go quick, make adjustments on the fly? How do you see it working?
I didn't imagine adjusting on the fly. I was thinking more like, you know, in Hollow Knight, you sit down on a bench and then you equip your charms and so on, then you go in. But I suppose there's nothing to say that you can't change out your code. I think that would lead to a lot more flashier moves. Like in the middle of fight, pause, change out. Then they're like, oh, he's going to phase two, pause, get rid of that one because that was for phase one. Let's set into phase two stuff, go, go, go. That
maybe
could
you
be
can
something,
have
maybe.
Two different states or you have two separate code sets and
maybe.
That's what you can do.
Maybe there's one more like
swap them out.
Call like root code and then one that is like surface level code or you can throw in all these crazy programming terms. I'm not a programmer. I
just like throw out random things I've heard. Like hardware as well. Maybe, you've got two sets of code, but you've got like a set of jumpers on your back or something. So you toggle a switch and it's set B or something. So
that could work.
I kind of, after saying it, don't necessarily like the idea of completely changing all the code on the fly during a boss battle. It's like you kind of want to have like a bit of strategy and be like, okay, this is my setup. This is my loadout of code. Mm. Go and attempt this section.
Yeah,
but then the idea that you could have a option B, quick, or swapping a weapon, just change.
Yeah. So you have like different code blocks that you have to switch out, but then perhaps in order to do that, it requires you to like reboot. So
you have some downtime. Maybe.
Ooh, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Which is like, so okay, I need to do this right now, but it's very dangerous. So I have to pick the exact right moment in the middle of a fight to do it.
Yeah, because most games don't let you change your setup in mid-combat. Like Diablo 3 doesn't, Hollow Knight doesn't. I mean, with Metroid, you can change. But like any games that have sort of setups like that, they usually don't let you change. That you do that in like save rooms or whatever. Mm. So I assume there's a reason for that because like you feel like, all right, I'm going up against this boss. He has three phases. The first boss is really easy if I use magic. But later on, he's immune to magic. So if I skip that mage, then phase two will be easier. But then phase three requires mobility. And then you yourself have to make a choice. All right, what do I want? Do I need triple jump here? Or can I just equip like the passive durability bonuses? Like, because that takes a thing or whatever.
Yeah, I think the bosses in their phases, I feel like the robot itself should have like a combat mode, a scouting mode, a mobility mode or something like that. And if you code it right, I feel like you should be able to, I say code it right. I mean, if you put things in the right places.
Yeah, if you set yourself up right,
every phase should be beatable with any like loadout that you've got.
You think so? Yeah.
And it would be kind of cool to see, like, oh, this boss was beaten with a mobility mode. That's impossible. Yeah, yeah. He has so many missiles. Yeah. It's crazy.
Speedruns and stuff, you know. That's the thing about with the setup as well. Like, you have stuff like, Nilesy finished Hollow Knight without using charms. Like, not a single charm. And he finished it, which would took him forever, and it was painful. But that's the kind of thing he does.
Why?
So it's, I just
is that like the like Dark Souls finished on the Donkey Kong?
Yeah, Soul Level One, Dark Souls. Yeah, yeah. It's like a self-set challenge mode.
Okay.
So in this one, like, okay, well, what if I never upgrade my RAM? Like, I only have the base level RAM. So you have that sort of ability for people to challenge themselves or whatever, and you put in achievements and stuff. Carrots.
I was thinking about like having maximum amount of code you can have on your person. I almost don't like that idea.
You want to have an infinite amount of code?
Almost an infinite amount. But if we are treating these modules that you get as a resource, we could Dark Souls it and say when you die, you lose some amount. You have to get your body back to regain the microchips. But then it gets to a point. Then it gets to a point where I've died.
Like, sometimes it fits.
I've died so many times that I now have zero abilities. in which case, the game is impossible. So we
should always have base attack
balance. Yeah,
moving, jumping, shooting. Right?
Well, should we talk about like if we strip it down to the really basic functions? Like you have devs. Please, I'm gonna sound like an idiot now trying to talk about basic programming in front of you guys. But there are different kinds of what would you call them? Like in programming, like the different kind of statements you can have. Right? There's like the if statement and
while and so on.
Yeah, else while and all these kind of things. So in my head, at least, it's split into two different things. There's the statements, the type of statement itself, which is like if, else, while, for, that kind of thing. And then also whatever code is in between that. And the difficulty can be ramped up, or like the content of the game can be changed by like allowing you to get different kinds of statements as you progress and different kinds of stuff within those statements. You know, does that make sense?
No.
So for example, if you're going to open a door, right, perhaps all you start off with is the ability to have a basic if function.
Right.
Okay, so you go up to the door and you have two abilities. You have like an if function and you say, okay, so if I see the door, then, and within that you have the option to open it. Okay. That's one of the things that you can equip. If door open, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there might be a door that you can't open. You have to smash through it. And so to do that, you need to have the smash ability. So you can have if door, then smash. Okay, but what if you come to a level where there's a door that you have to open, and then directly after there's a door that you have to smash? In my head, the way this could work then is that you basically have to then unlock the ability to have a different kind of statement. For example, like if this is correct, like there's like a switch statement, right?
Yeah.
Which is it's like multiple ifs. It allows you to be like...
You can just do if door open, else smash.
Basically, the idea is like having...
That's the else part,
giving you different kinds of statements as you progress to make the curve go up in terms of like the amount of different things that you have to program in to make it harder, like to make it more complicated and to make the... I don't know if that's overly complicating it.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think that is part of it. Like gradually as you go, you will require more and more purely navigational abilities to like make it pass. Like if, you know, the thing is really high up there, if you can't reach, initiate grappling hook or whatever, you know, like that sort of thing.
Yeah,
you need
yeah.
more and more of it. And I think the balance will always be like how much navigational abilities do you need so that you can actually go where you need to go, and how much can you then put into combat that, you know, makes your combat better. So on. Because I think baseline, like Chris said, I think a good idea is like every boss should be beatable with just a basic attack. It might take you forever, but like it should be doable, you know, as if nothing else, just for like fun runs. Like, hey, I didn't even upgrade and beat the game, but something like that. But you have the choice yourself of what you want to upgrade, right? That's not like revolutionary. Like there's usually like a limit for how many, you know, Hollow Knight, you could X amount of charm notches or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The idea of like it being used for multiple things rather than just combat could be something. And the idea of it being, because it's all in code and RAM and stuff in your head, to me means that like you can go like a bit meta with it if you want, and break fourth wall if you need to, if that's what you kind of want to feel like into. Or just something like that, like someone is like putting in a bug in your system, like one of the bosses, like, or someone shuts down like half of your brain, and all of a sudden, like the next area, you have to do without being able to jump because someone's like corrupted your jump function. You have to make your way through the entire next area without jumping to break it back, and so on. So like it limits, like they could do ways to like take it away from you so that all of a sudden you can't do stuff you could do before, and the like.
This makes me think a little bit of like Tom, do you know when we like. This game has come up a few times on Pitch Please, but and thankfully Matthew's not here now. But Dungeon Daddy, like the good stuff that we were talking about, that like that we really liked, like having like what was it like the 100% like baby run?
Yeah, the scout baby run. Yeah,
like the idea that you just kind of like you have Chris is remembering it, but the way that you can just have like the potential for all these different kinds of like weird runs. Like weird playthroughs.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make the game as open as you literally are designing every single element of what your character can do, I think people are going to find some crazy ways to play it that may or may not be intentional.
So it could probably be broken. Yeah. I'm also worried that there will be, like, people will just look up guides and say, like, okay, once you reach X, input these and the game is effortless. And you just go. I mean, in some ways, that's good. Right? Like,
this is where I was going to say, I don't know if everything should be automatic. I think you still need to have a level of skill-based play. So you might have a bunch of passive, memory modules, but you'd also have a bunch of, ones that you have to trigger yourself. So, be it a weapon, be it a, you assign this code block to A, if jump has to, you might then assign jump to left trigger or something, maybe you can play with actually how you keybind it as well. But I think there needs to be some platforming in this is what I'm getting the sense of.
Idea was like before you unlock like manually shoot, like automatically shoot all flyers with anti-flying gun, you have to make your way through an entire level full of flyers and you have to do them all manually and kill them and avoid them and so on. And then finally you beat the end, big giant super bird, you kill the bird, you have anti-bird program. And then now you get the satisfaction of going all the way back through, seeing your robot just automatically shoot them all as you go. And you're like,
I don't know. I feel like that's less, for me, that's less rewarding than figuring out how to kill those things in the first place just through the code rather than actually doing it as a, it reminds me a little bit of like in the Ascent, like you'll get these really absurdly difficult bosses that take fucking ages to kill. There's like a flamethrower spider thing. And it took me literally like 90 minutes of just like retries over and over to kill it. And then afterward, like whenever you kill them, it fills in like a log in your journal and the information on the log tells you its weaknesses and how to kill it.
Right.
So there's no passive bonus. And I'm always like, knowledge. Fuck,
could you not have just told me that like after I died for the first time or when I encountered it for the first time? No. Like there's nothing. You just have to, figure. And I guess in a way that's kind of cool because it forces you to figure out the weaknesses yourselves. But I really like the idea of having that stuff programmed to begin with. And I feel like you're taking away the rewarding feeling if you being able to program that stuff is just a reward for beating it in the first place manually.
True, but without that, there's not a lot of progress. Like if you just have that set already, you read it on a web page or just because you're like, you figure out yourself because you're genius, which great, then you eliminate all the challenge of the game. Like if you figure out ahead of time, aha, this is how to defeat them, then all of a sudden the entire bird area is just boring because they just die. Because you figured out the code to immediately kill them, and then you just go through it and something, and then at the end you kill a boss, and then I guess you get a other reward, and it's not as, I don't know. I feel like you have to have. I feel like you have to get. I feel like you have to get progress, right? There needs to be challenge that eventually gets overcome through abilities.
The way Mega Man works is that every boss you beat gives you a weapon that is super effective against another boss. And granted, sometimes you could get a weapon. It never tells you what it's good against.
No, you could then go online. You
could then go online and be like, oh shit, this weapon is strong against something I killed ages ago and spent ages trying to kill.
Good against Flame Leviathan or whatever.
There's some that are just odd. Like there's no way of really figuring it out except it does more damage for no reason. But I mean, if we went with the RAM slot thing, you get more RAM slots and you're able to do that. But I feel like there is some form of reward for beating this hard area and knowing that what you get out of it is the ability to progress through future areas that are similar so much easier.
Yeah.
Like, you have to put in a load of work to pass these areas so that the next time you encounter an area like this, it's much easier.
Yeah, I think the core of the game for me is it's still a Metroidvania. It's still Hollow Knight. It's still Metroid. Like, you start with little, kill bosses to get more abilities, more ways to move. Just the twist, so to speak, like the gimmick, is the whole coding thing. And I think that could be really cool. And I think the automation thing of, like, some things now become automatic and easy is a way to deal with, like, oh, you've gotten such a powerful gun, you could just shoot the mob rather than having to attack its three different weak points to shatter its armor and then kill it.
Yeah.
Like, now you just, like, you have a code to automatically kill it faster, or it just shoots the three points automatically. You just don't have to do it yourself manually and skill-wise. But in the core of the game is Metroidvania, really.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, what do people imagine the interface for the coding thing is like? Is it a list of things where it says if, and then there's a drop-down, and then it says then there's a drop-down? Is there
in my head,
nodes?
It's like a node.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nodes.
But also, do you have everything unlocked at the start? Like, if I say if door, then open, or if I got to walk up to a door and I discover doors? Like, I know it sounds stupid, but you could obviously... If there's something big
that's
down
how
the line.
I think it should. That's how I think it should be done. Like, as you're experiencing, like, finding these new things, these new objects, and new weapons, you uncover the code for them.
Yeah, I think experimentation
so to open a door to begin with
is good as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I imagine the robot being like blank memory, so it doesn't know what's like beyond the first square 2D or whatever room you're in. Mm. You don't know anything. So you need to see an enemy first or see an obstacle first before you can program it. So you can't start in the room and then immediately have set up like a way to kill the last boss because you don't know anything about the last boss is or any boss. You need to see the boss first to figure out, aha, this is like a burrowing earthworm or whatever. Okay, how then the earthworm shows up as a node or drop down or however we want to do the UI for the interface to choose and program. I think maybe the gimmick is that, like, you remember what you've seen even if you restart, like your program, it spits out a new Android and you have to say, well, whatever. I don't know if we need like a rule for how we respawn or whatever, but the idea is like you remember what you've seen and now you can program that in your code.
Do we confine what they can put in each bit? So could I, in theory, go if door, then door? Like, are we?
You
do they
could,
have
but I imagine that just nothing happens. Would happen.
What happens?
Exactly.
But then what you do you think happens, you, Chris? You sort of start miming,
you,
I think, yeah. Is the...
pretend you try to become a door.
Because I think, like, you zoom in and it's Bubba is you.
The problem with that is that you walk up to a door, how do you learn how to open something? Like, do you walk up to it, go door, it must be openable? Like, that's the issue, gaining knowledge.
I think everything that you are, you should be able to scan and write it to memory.
Right.
And with the memories of the things that you get, if you scan a door, you've got the door command and you can now do stuff with that. Mm-hmm. Doors open, you've got the open command. Maybe the bosses is all just a bullet hell that you have to avoid everything for as long as you can until you can finally scan this boss. And then when you scan it, you've got this code that you input and it's like, right, I've spent like 45 seconds dodging this hell, but now I've scanned it. I've now got this code to put in that I can switch in now. Weak spot, shoot, head, avoid, dash, jump, stuff like that. And then you just let the guy go after
if
you've finally taken all this information.
Then door.
I mean,
we got a door or something. Yeah.
You could use the I don't know, whatever story to explain away why this robot knows what open is. Maybe they're in a lab, they're being experimented on, and they've got a few base commands that someone's loaded in, and so they know what open. They've gone through the runner.
I mean,
and done
maybe
a maze.
Maybe
they
just
know
something simple like
that,
maybe just like you press button. You press a button on the door. I mean, maybe that like the baseline command is. He knows that much.
It says
he
open. Shoot there's a,
yeah,
it
you just
read.
Press the button. Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
no, there might be some base like interact type thing going on.
To and the get final rid of the, thing,
if door then door. You know,
the final thing you do is learn how to door, and that's it.
And then once you do the door, and then the character turns to the screen, and the screen opens
the, screen
the door.
Oh,
and the
my
end.
God.
And all the bosses are there at a party, and it was all about the friends you made along the way.
Yeah,
that's the true meaning of door.
Going back to what Tom was saying about the boss fights, I really like the idea of like scanning. Like if, for example, you maybe you have to hold out, but the longer you hold out, the more scan information you get.
Yeah.
So it could be a kind of like, perhaps you only hold out for 10 seconds to begin with. That gives you just enough information.
Maybe you see a bar on top of your screen, like scan, filling up.
Yeah,
and you go
yeah.
to the last boss and you start scanning. Scan, filling up.
And it's super slow.
1%.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know? And you have to survive for ages.
At 10%, you learn his weakness. But then at 80%, you learn his big weak spot. So it's about
Like you get
how
so that's
far
step by
do you
step.
Want to try and survive until you can...
That's kind of cool because then it means that you're gaining the information. You're gaining the information by scanning and like having that bullet hell gameplay. But then you still have to figure out how to execute that information properly, how to like use that.
I really love the idea that if you die, you might see a console log that shows every command or everything that you've done. And then it goes like ended here.
Yeah.
And you might be able to then look at it and go, oh, I did an if jump door thing and that's why I died and that would
I tried
be
to door the door again
I tried to door jump door exactly
so I mean, I think the idea of like you were saying how do we imagine this being done I think node based works but also there's a part of me that kind of wants the individual bits of the robot like you can go into the gun and you can customize exactly what a shot is or you go into the right hand and you've got different commands for that you go into the legs and you've got, while running, dash or jump or whatever. And on the screen, while you're running around these levels, you've got a little icon of all the individual parts and you can see the code playing out bit by bit by bit.
Yeah.
So when
that sounds satisfying.
In the final levels of the game, I mean, there's code just flying through constantly.
Yeah.
It's a code hell.
But maybe even just to make the combat and the actual gameplay of it more fun, no offense, like the customization of the weapon entirely. You can say, right, here's a list of things that happen when I press the shoot button and option one, charge, then charge again, then charge again, then fire twice, then charge, then fire. And that all plays out when you click the shoot button once. Or maybe there's like a split shot or rockets or something like that. And maybe it gets to a point where you click the shoot button and it's just a barrage of hell. but I think it could be really cool seeing the different things that people have built weapon-wise.
I think the code part is what makes this unique. But ultimately, it needs to be a satisfying Metroidvania Mega Man to play and run around and jump and shoot and do cool moves. Like, this is like the upgrade system and the stuff that makes it unique. But ultimately, it should just be fun to play.
Chris, you had something to say a second ago, sorry.
Yeah, it was a bit of sort of a mishmash of everyone's things, like what Tom was saying with, having weird barrages because they're automatically linked to each other. I was thinking the same thing of like, you have an update loop where anything in that is automatically triggered because maybe you're getting really bored of opening doors. So, if door, then open. So as you run out a door, because it's in your update, you'd have to press a button. But you could also have stuff which is relied on button presses. Or, if pressed down does something, then you have an if release and it does something else. Maybe instead of having to press jump twice, you now do it. Okay, what I'm going to do to make my life easier is on the press down, I jump. When I release, I jump again. So I always double jump. And you're like, okay, well, that's maybe that's how I do that. Or maybe, but you should have limited sort of bandwidth for the update loop. So it's you kind of have to pick and choose where you want those certain things. The other thing I was thinking of is about having the chipsets that you get or however you want to do it. I don't know, fucking USBs or whatever you want.
Yeah, floppy disks or whatever.
You program stuff onto them and you load them in like switching guns, right? So you're like, okay, I need to change to my fast fire. So you like unload that. But you've pre-programmed that to do that.
You pre-program in your guns or whatever.
Yeah, they're
and
blank.
And you swap between them.
So you could see they could program your own
pulls out one USB disk in with another.
Oh, I love this. I love this imagery of like Chappie just slamming disks into his forehead.
So you could you could program a shotgun that's just like, okay, so this is the basic pistol is like if shoot then fire bullet, but then you could have like effectors on that. So you're like, okay, if bullet, and you like duplicate three times and like split or whatever. You've made your own shotgun, but then you could also change it to like you could add different attachments on by adding like extra functions here and there.
Yeah.
But that's how I think you should do it, is then you have blank chips and you program these things and you kind of hot swap them in and out for the situation. yeah, in the fast paced moments.
Yeah, that could work.
Are we presuming this is like some sort of transformer type robot? So you never pick Optimus up Prime. Hardware? It's Optimus Prime. Okay.
Or well, truck.
Maybe the truck, yes. If door blast through with the truck. It solves the door problem. Yeah.
I was imagining like Chappie, you know the film Chappie? Mm. Yeah, that kind of goes over. He's kind of like humanoid, but like he's a bit like, he looks a bit junkyardy, falling apart a little bit.
Were you talking about more like situational, where it's like big gap turn to bird like mode and you're like transforms with wings or some shit?
Well, I was more thinking in just in terms of like,
that wasn't meant to sound so just the word I chose like, was some like, shit. Yeah, it wasn't meant to sound
as
so
in,
derogatory.
Do you just
to
have like one like gun arm the whole game and then that changes, or do you pick up replacement hardware?
I'd like that because you're a robot, you can change yourself physically as well. Like gradually as you upgrade, like yes, you upgrade yourself with code, but maybe you literally pick up jet boots, and that's because that's a physical thing. You can't code your robot feet to all of a sudden shoot out jets, but you might actually find that and be able to upgrade that. So
can you then
both
code the jet boots? Do they have a slot?
Where you're once like, you get the jet boots hover on, they're not a physical thing, and then you like pull the wires. And then now all of a sudden, you can code your jetboots to activate when you see a big gap. Mm. So not so much transform into bird, but activate jetboots so that you can.
That's where I think the chip, the USBs, should be finite. So you're like, okay, I'm not going to use one in my arm. I need to use that for my jetboots. So I'm going to write the code on that, put that in the jetboots. So it's like every time I hold A, I hover now. Or every time I hold A, I've chosen to do a big jet boost jump.
Yeah.
When sort of figure
so it's
out
kind
what
of like experimental
quality
of lifestyle things that you can have. You have a limited space to like perform those actions.
Or like at some point, like you stand there and oh god, there's like a cliff. I cannot jump there. So then maybe like, okay, well, I need either to pick up the wall jump ability and program that to be used like when touch wall, jump off rather than, you know, or jet boots specifically as an upgrade to be able to go up there because you can't. And if you walk up there and you don't have those equipped, you can't. So you need to go back and make sure they are equipped for they to be even doable. Mm. That's the thing.
I love the idea of like all of the millions of like really, really annoying things that can go wrong when you're coding that you just forget. But like, because computers are like, I guess in a way, really intelligent, but really stupid at the same time, right? So you still have to...
If you miss a semicolon, they don't get it. Like, that semicolon was important.
That's what I mean,
The computer is only as stupid as the person who wrote the program. Because bugs aren't made by the computer. They're doing what you've told them to do.
Yes, exactly.
They're, like, doing it to the letter.
But the computer isn't smart enough to realize I meant to put in a semicolon there. Come on.
Well, then
like,
you should
that's
have
obvious.
Done it.
But every other piece of code has had the semicolons.
Like, yeah. Right.
Why would
you
I skip
to be
it
really
there?
Specific.
Computer, please read the implication. It was an implied semicolon.
Chris is just really that's hoping that when the robot uprising happens, they listen to this episode of the podcast.
I say thank you to my Google.
We're all dead, Chris. But yes, what I mean is like basically there's unintended effects of something of code that you have put together. So for example, then Rhythm, what was you're saying about like when you touch a wall, jump or wall jump, like that could have like quite disastrous effects because you're not always going to want a wall jump every time you encounter a wall. Like
well,
you might want to turn back,
being,
or you might want to climb it.
I imagine that being something that is almost very much intentional. Like you unlock the wall jump ability and you go, oh, hell yes. I'm going to put it in every time I touch a wall. And then why is he every time? Oh, you know, and then it's a problem. You're like, oh, I gotta fix that. You know.
So are we still going with the approach of you can only swap out at campsites or safe areas? Whatever they're called. Because I'm a little worried about traveling through a level, you move 5 feet, oh, I need to go into my code again and swap it out. Then you move 5 feet. Oh, I need to swap my code out.
Yeah, I think there needs to be limitations.
How do we scout the level in advance? Or maybe that's a thing. You
I think that's
see
part
the entire
it.
Level
you
ahead
go
of you and you're like,
check the
right.
level, reach up. Okay, I can't do anything there, but I think I might be able to do something if I equip jet boots. And then like, well, I haven't been to the right side here. You go to the right side. It's like, ah, okay, this bear seems fine, but it sure would be helpful if I had ice missiles to deal with all of those. And then you go back to the campsite, or we'll have to figure out the flavor eventually.
Sure, yeah.
And you sit down and you go like, all right, I'm going to need jet boots and I'm going to need ice missiles for this room. Swap out in quickly. That means I have to unequip like roll ball or whatever, but that's fine. I'm not going to need that in this area. And so
right.
I don't know. I think the way to do it might be just you can't change it during combat. Other times you can change it any other time. Or if you've engaged in combat, you can try and change it, but you'll just die.
Right, okay.
It's real time.
Yeah, no, so, I was just wary of like this high octane gameplay. And you're like, yeah, constantly blasting pause, everything.
Pause.
Yeah, yeah, pacing.
Yeah, exactly.
You could, you could hot swap like the D-pad, like down is your boots, left and right for your arms.
You could have hot swaps. Well, that's something you mentioned before, like you have like stances or sets or whatever. Mm, like two or three you can swap between, you know? You can have your double jump stance, but also your like juggernaut stance where you can crash into things or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I think that works.
You swap that on left and right on D-pad.
I just really want to see the animation of Chappie.
Yeah, yeah, he will do that. Like he'll
instead of when a gun, you hot swap, like, slamming
he just like his left arm into his head. Just like slams it into the back of his head, you know?
Also, he changes color.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Good. Okay. Good.
Nice. All right. All right. Look, we kind of need to finish up.
All right.
But I feel like we've talked about this a lot. Like,
Tom, a lot of gameplay, mostly.
What is this to you?
This, to me, it's actually one of two things for me at the moment. It's a Metroidvania. It's a Mega Man Metroidvania-y sort of robot upgrade-y game where either... the two choices for me are there's a lot of code and it's, you know, literally if door open, if enemy shoot, if ball jump, if spike trap hover at 20% for 5 seconds before dropping, then activate again for a double jump. Like I feel like if it's that way, cool, it works. Not really a Metroidvania in that sense. It's more of just a watch your code play out, kind of like that turtle game where you draw lines across a board, which is cool. I think that's a version of it that I think would be really fun. Alternatively, it leans more into the Metroidvania and gives you not as fine control, but you can change how all of your equipment works. So you say, right, I've got my gun, it fires three times, then it charges, and then it shoots another bullet that splits. And that could be really cool to program the gun in a certain way. Or maybe you get the jet boots and they have a set amount of commands and you say, well, when I use my jet boots, I want it to hover across the ground. Or when I use my jet boots, I want it to dash. And I think that could be really cool of building essentially the character that you want, because some games I've played, the upgrades have been kind of shit. And I've been like, I'm not going to use this because I just don't like it. But if you can say, I've got jet boots and I want them to do exactly what I want them to do, and they'll do that every time, that could be really cool. But then it makes it a much lighter on the coding side of it, but still gives you a lot of control over how your character plays based on the buttons that you press. And I think also that could be really cool. And I don't know which one I prefer. I think it's option two for me, where it's a little bit lighter. It's not if door, then door or open or whatever. But it gives you finer control over the character and their equipment. Maybe. But also, I really like the idea of scanning the boss and then knowing the weak spot and saying, if weak spot, then shoot or whatever.
Yeah, I love that. The whole scan to unlock things. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what it is for me. I like both. Both's cool.
Chris, James, what are you guys thinking?
So it's great. Both just looked at each other, waiting for us to start speaking, and then we spoke at the same time. So James, you can
lovely. Yeah, nice. I like British. What Thomas described as option two. I think that's a much more action sort of goes well with the type of gameplay that I'm imagining. I still think there's a chance to have some of that wackiness and that randomness, even with a limited set of choices where you could still join things together and, you know, have a bit of if door is door, but not be a bit lighter on it. But yeah, I color me intrigued. Yes.
So what this is called, If Door Then Door, is that?
Yeah. That is the fun title, but I get the feeling like it should probably, if we want to try to sell this at some point, we can't sell it as If Door Then Door.
Then what should it be called?
But for the purposes of this podcast, it is absolutely called If Door Then Door.
Door is Door. Because God, we need another robot if statement episode. I think Logic Gate.
Right. Yeah, hey. Jesus, yeah, Logic Gate.
I think if game, then option two.
For fuck's sake.
Thanks. I just prefer that style a little bit more. I like a lot of what we discussed, but just that version is more for me.
Yeah, and I would absolutely be the same as well. Of the two options, I want the programming bit to be a fun gimmick with cool experimental ideas, but it shouldn't be the main game. The main game shouldn't be sitting there trying to figure out everything about the code. That could be some fun efficiency optimization, maybe, but mostly it's a cool, action-y Metroidvania where the methods of upgrading has this little cool gimmick to it, I think, mostly.
Perfect. And you know what that means? It means we can treat these nodes as a resource that you lose when you die. And now we have a roguelike, baby!
Yay, roguelike!
Hey, we got a roguelike! Woo! Back at it again, baby.
All right, if you...
there it is.
All right, look, if you think it should or shouldn't be a roguelike, if you want it to be more of a heavy puzzle game...
If you think it shouldn't be, fuck you.
don't contact us.
Fuck off.
If you agree with us, then you can contact us. Where can they speak to us, Tom?
They can speak to us on our Twitter at pitchpleasepod without any vowels or in the comments on YouTube. Right. Wait, is there an O?
Nope.
No, that's been removed.
Nope. You've removed the O.
It was removed.
Nice.
Or in the YouTube comments, or in the reviews on iTunes, or in the Google Play reviews, or on Discord, DM us.
Oh, yeah, all of those.
Or you can
DM us. Just call us out.
Find our old accounts on MySpace and friend us on there and talk to us there. Or send us a pigeon. Or Club Penguin.
You can find me on Have a Hotel.
Yeah.
All right, amazing. If you like this game, if you want to chat, Club Penguin us. Until then, we'll see you next time. Thanks very much for listening.
Goodbye.
See you in Club Penguin.
I'm going to go door so hard right now.
I'm going to door.